Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Kim. Are you there out across the air?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for joining me at Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowboy, where the miracles are always found in the timing. It's Wish on Wednesday, and as you know, we're going to get started with a few of our favorite things. And spontaneously, last evening, we run into some old friends and go out on the town for dinner with one of our favorite besties, Patrick Wayne. And he, of course, is the son of the late, great John Wayne. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of have a crush on Patrick Wayne, because when I was a child, I was a huge, huge Sinbad Eye of the Tiger fan. And, you know, that was kind of like the modern day Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp. And so when I was young, and I won't say how young, because, you know, Patrick is still young. I think he's like, you know, 52 or something, but he looks fabulous, and we love Patrick. He played Sinbad, Eye of the Tiger, and my favorites were Captain Kangaroo and the Bionic, this $6 million man, and Sinbad. And so when I got to meet Patrick about 20 years ago, I had to hug on him and just love on him and tell him how much I loved Sinbad. And of course, you probably remember that, but my most favorite thing that is so just philanthropic about Patrick and the John Wayne family is the John Wayne Cancer Foundation. And they are continuously bringing courage and strength and just grit to the fight against cancer. And Patrick has devoted his life to the legacy of these innovative programs in cancer research, saving lives through research and education and awareness and support. And their health center is over there at St. John's in the Santa Monica area. And they just have had many groundbreaking, innovative treatment programs. And once again, it's like giving back and giving back to your community and making a difference and being the change that you want to see. And I just can't say enough good about the John Wayne family and Patrick Wayne, and we thank them for having us as our guests last night. And again, they took us out to a fabulous dinner. But our other favorite thing is Horses for the Forces, and I love this program. It's a program with LA Dreamcatchers, and it's
amazing.
It is therapy for our military veterans through and around horses. And so this kind of is right up your lane, because being the granddaughter of the late, great Walter Merrick, and over there from Sarah, Oklahoma, with the foundational American quarter horses of Easy Jet and Jet Smooth, and we love to talk about our favorite athletes, and our favorite athletes are the American quarter horses. And right there at the Diamond H Stables was the home of our Lano Cartel, and currently our Gold Line. And you and I, we can talk all day about our favorite athletes, the American quarter horses. But talk a little bit about your brother Kevin, who was a veterinarian in the armed forces and in the Army, and just talk a little bit about that, Kevin's love for horses and your family, and how Kevin devoted a great many years in the armed forces in veterinary medicine, focusing on horses. Tell us a little bit about that, Kim.
Well, Kevin went into vet school to be a large animal vet at the at Oklahoma State University in Stillwater. Go Pokes.
Yeah.
So,
go Pokes.
So he went into to be a large animal vet to actually work at the ranch and Sarah.
Yes.
But life always has twists and turns, and he ended up joining the military, and he was in what they call the vet corps, which is part of the Army.
Yes.
And they ended up sending him back to school for to get a couple more degrees. And so he got a degree in epidemiology, and a degree in public health. And part of his job also was to go around and do inspections of health, anything that the military bought food from. He also would go in and inspect that.
Okay.
But he devoted over 20 years to the military.
Yes.
He retired in San Diego, California.
Yes.
With his wife and three kids.
Yes.
And now he owns a vet practice in San Diego, and it has been voted number one vet clinic in San Diego for 3 or 4 years now.
Yes.
I can't even remember.
Remarkable work that Kevin's doing. Yes, in San Diego.
Absolutely state-of-the-art facility and amazing vet. But our love is horses.
Yes.
You know, we grew up racing horses for years and years, and he loves the large animal stuff, but right now he is focusing more on small animal. But we love that we can run down there and he can take care of our,
yes,
our
yes.
pets, which I've had to do a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just got back from San Diego 3 weeks ago from him doing a lovely little treatment on my little schnauzer.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe Grace.
Yes.
But he knows horses in and out. He got a lot of training at the racetrack in Ruidoso from one of the most amazing veterinarians there. And he traveled around to the different ranches and breeding farms that my grandfather had, and got training at Buenos Fuerte and Roswell. And of course, lots and lots of training from Dr. Fred Rule.
Yes.
In Elk City.
Elk City, Oklahoma.
And
yes.
He's traveled all over the world. With the military.
Yes, I just remember,
so he's
Kevin.
Training everywhere.
Yeah, I just remember Kevin when we were young. We were probably 15, 16, but Kevin was a stud. He was a veterinarian in the armed forces, and I just was like, that's like giving back and, you know, just leaving a wonderful, wonderful stamp that you served in the military. And so I, this week, we are Wish on Wednesday. And our contributions go out to Horses for Forces at LA Dreamcatcher. And then also I did Wish on Wednesday today, actually, for Child Help Advocacy Centers, Prevention Programs, Group Homes for Orphan Children. And it is our Wish on Wednesday here at Catch a Wave, where the miracle's in the timing, that all of the needs of children be met across our nation through wonderful programs such as Child Help. So other favorite things this week were, I went to church on the beach in Manhattan Beach, and it was fabulous. We sat there with
wonderful.
It was fabulous. We sat there with our toes in the sand. All the surfers were out there surfing, catching waves. These kids, young kids, had their guitars, standing up there in their shorts, no shoes, singing, worshiping, praising God. It was like heaven on earth. And these wonderful men came from a mission in Mexico, just right down there in the Baja Peninsula. And it was just so wonderful. I can't even describe to you. They were reading from their Spanish Bible, and they had a translator. And I knew all the verses that they were reading. They were talking about restoration. And I love the Word of God. I love the promises of God. And I love that I'm just too dumb to know better and too stubborn to give up and just believe that the Word of God cannot return void. It's the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. And so these men from Mexico were speaking in Spanish, reading from their Spanish Bibles about restoration. And they had an interpreter. And here they were reading from their Bible in Spanish in Jeremiah 29:11, which that's a very familiar verse. And as he was speaking it, I was just going along in my mind, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future, and I will restore you, saith the Lord. And so he's reading that in Spanish, and I knew exactly, and I was just thinking, like, you know, love in any language is still acceptable. A smile in any language is still surrounded with love and grace. And a meal, it's like when you offer someone a meal, it's a blessing. When you offer someone a smile, it's a blessing. And when you offer just the love of God and the hope of God in any language, it is a blessing. And so this was so wonderful to hear these men. And so this gentleman was actually an older gentleman who had been on the streets in Mexico, and he was rough. He was kicked out of his home when he was young, like, you know, 10, 11 years old. He lived on the streets. He was just a whole lot of trouble. And he was actually stabbed nearly to death by gang members and involved in drugs and crime. And he told of this story that while he lay there bleeding and the blood ran out of his body and he became cold and rigorous and stiff, that he didn't know God, but he cried out upon the name of the Lord, and God just spoke to him and saved him literally from death. And here this man wept, and there his sons and his family stood there with him, and they wept. And he talked about how just this one decision that he made changed generations to come. And his family was forever changed because he decided to turn towards God and accept God as his Savior. And he didn't know nothing about nothing, except he said, "I just surrendered there in my death, bleeding to death on the ground in the streets." And he said, I was a bad guy. And he said, because I made this decision, then my entire family was affected, and we all came to Christ and gave our lives to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it changed the life of my sons and my children's children. And then it changed the lives of his community. And then now he is doing these missions in the Baja Peninsula. And I just sat there and I was like, it cannot get more real than this. I always say Jesus is in the tent. And let me tell you, there was a snack tent behind me with donuts and refreshments and coffee and waters. And we were sitting there in the sand, and the tide was rolling in, and the surfers were surfing. And here's this man pouring out his heart and his love for God. And just to make it a little better, during praise and worship, there was a military man dressed in his military clothing. And he was an older silver-haired man. And he was standing there with his hands stretched up to the sky and stretched out, and he was singing as loud and as hard as he could, just praising God. And I was like, what a wonderful, wonderful Sunday and experience at church on the beach. So that was one of my favorite things. And the focus on the the sermon was restoration. And so I want to talk a little bit about how wonderful the Word of God is, and the promises of God. And, you know, we always say life and death lie in the tongue, and be very conscientious about the story that you're speaking forth. And I always say, tell your story. And people kind of, you know, just, I want to be so positive that negative people can't stand to be around me. I want to just walk it and talk it. And that's hard, because we walk through this world and it's not exactly always easy, and it's not exactly always positive. But I love to go to the Word of God and just talk about the positive restoration and the hope that the Word of God gives. And, you know, in Job, it says, not only was Job restored, but he received a double portion. And I always say, after the setback is the comeback. You know, winners have a habit of winning. And if you're a true winner, you'll come back. You'll come back stronger. You'll come back restored. You'll come back better. But you'll always come back. You'll always find your way back to the top if you're a true winner. If you just won once, well, then maybe you just got lucky. But true winners always come back. They always find a way to come back. And after the setback is the comeback. And so I love the promises of God. And in 1 John 5:4, it talks about, for everyone born of God, and that means all of us are children of the Most High God. So we are just the apple of God's eye, and we're favored by God, and he's the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, you will overcome, and this is your victory. And so that's just awesome. It's just so simple. For everyone born of God overcomes, and this is your victory. And of course, we have the gift of eternal life. So that's wonderful. And again, it's so simple, and we make it so hard, and there's paralyzation and overanalyzation, but I just like to get to the nuts and bolts of it. And in 1 Peter 5:10, it talks about the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore you. So that right there is a powerful, powerful promise. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory, he himself will restore you. What that means is whatever has broken you, whatever has hindered you, whatever has caused you grief and strife and stress, God is saying, I am the author and the finisher of your faith, and I'm going to restore you. And in the Word of God, there's many places it says you will be restored 2-7 tenfold. And so I just have to hang on to that. When days are bad and times are hard, I just have to hang on to that. The God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory, he himself will restore you. So I just love, love, love the Word of God and all the promises. But this was the first verse that came up today when I Googled restoration. And, you know, we've been talking about a vineyard and your dog rescue, and you want to do this up in the Loomis, California area, and we're just going to keep speaking it. We're going to keep professing it. We're going to keep proclaiming it. We're going to keep calling it forward, and we're going to be in agreement where two or more are gathered in my name. Ask anything, and it shall be done. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. And it was this word that came up, speaking of the vineyard, that we want to do, speaking of the dog rescue that you want to do at the back of the vineyard. It's in Amos 9:14, it says, I will bring my people back, restoration, and they will rebuild, restoration, and they will plant vineyards and drink the wine, and they will make gardens and eat the fruit. And I just thought that was the first verse coming out from the universe, from God of Source to me, talking about when I was looking for restoration, positive words, there comes Amos 9:14. I will bring my people back and they will rebuild. They will plant vineyards, drink the wine. They will make gardens and eat fruits. So I love that, love that, love that. Galatians 6. If you have been set back, if you are hurting, if you are lost, if you are need repair, the Word of God says, I'm going to restore you gently. I'm going to bring you back. And so I thought that was sweet. Hosea 6:1, returning to the Lord, for he heals us. God is going to help us return to him, his people to come back and surrender. And, you know, we just, as Americans, we live in the greatest country in the world. And it doesn't hurt to get down on your knees and pray, one nation under God. And if that's not working for you, get a little more surrendered in proper stance and get down on your belly. But we're going to be in agreement that God is restoring our nation, that God is restoring America. And so we thank God that we live in this abundant, blessed nation. In Isaiah 61:7, instead of shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And this is speaking of the inheritance of God and the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love and joy and peace. And you will receive a double portion, and everlasting joy will be yours. So I loved, loved, loved all of these verses of restoration and the promises of God. And it's just so, I just feel better already just, you know, talking about the promises of God. But I always like to talk about the miracles that just come around me, the miracles that just surround me. And I'm just always taken aback. But my kids, of course, went to school at TCU and Baylor. And so one of the girls in a study circle of one of my children at one of these universities, she fell on financial hard times. And I don't want to say the girl's name because a lot of people know this story. It went out across social media. And, you know, I'm approaching 50, so I'm out there living my best life now. I've got a lot of things to accomplish by my 50th birthday. And, And so this is one of them, just being positive and being trying to be inspirational and motivational and be a lifter of heads and just spreading the good, you know, spreading the good word and the promises that God gives us. But this little girl, she fell on financial hard times and they kicked her out of college. And I think she was a sophomore in college at the time. And so my son said, I want you to talk to my mom because, you know, my mom, she's kind of delusional and she kind of always operates in hyper faith. But that old girl, she's been faking it till she's making it for a long time. And he said, I just want you to talk to my mom. I want my mom to encourage you. So I don't know this girl, but my son gets her on the phone with me. And boy, we start speaking the truth and shaming the devil. And I start, you know, speaking all the promises of God for restoration and supply. And you know me, Kim, you've known me for a long time. And I'm all about abundance. And I promote abundance. And I do not believe in scarcity mindset. And you can always tell when you interact with people, are they coming from a place of abundance? Like God is my provider. And I'm going to stretch my arms out wide, and I'm a 10-gallon giver. I'm not a teaspoon giver. I'm a 10-gallon receiver, and I'm a 10-gallon giver. And I don't ever run out because I've got plenty, because I serve the Most High God, the creator of the universe, and he is my God of source. And so he provides my needs, and I'm going to give it away to get it, and I'm going to give it away to keep it. But I start talking to this girl, and I said, I want you to go in there and I want you to sit down in front of that man that kicked you out of school because you ran out of money. And I just want you to put me on speakerphone. And so she did. And I told my son, I said, I want you to go in there to that cashier's office and I want you to get them on the phone and I want to talk to them. And I literally shamed this man. I literally made him feel embarrassed that he'd kicked this little girl out of school over $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. And I said, just put her back in, and we'll get the money raised. So we kept robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we kept walking by faith, and we kept joining in agreement in our power of prayer, and we kept believing, ask anything in his name where two or more are gathered, and it shall be done. And we just kept knocking and asking and looking and digging and grinding it out before the Lord, and she makes it three more semesters. And then she calls me and she's just devastated. And she said, they're not going to roll me over anymore. They've kicked me out of school. And this little girl, she was working three jobs and she had a fabulous grade point average. And they kicked her out. And I want you to know, Kim, I was just sick. I was just devastated. I'd done everything but write a check. And, you know, my back was against the wall because I had two children and Baylor and TCU, and let me tell you, the tuition is not cheap there. And anyone that's got kids in college,
I got two in a university too.
I know,
you,
right now,
you like you were,
yeah,
you were paying up. Mine were in public, not
well,
private.
Well, but still, anybody that's got kids in college, and you're out there making it happen and giving these kids an opportunity and an education and trying to allow them to be debt free with this gift of a fabulous education, God bless you, because I just came out of it, and Kim's children are stair-step the same as mine, and she's you know, working night and day to get her kids through college. But you'll get it done, and it'll just come back tenfold, it'll come back. But this little girl, so I really, really go out on a limb, and, you know, it's one thing for me to go out in the deep to fish for the big fish in my little rowboat all by myself. But I took her out there and I said, I'm going to tell you something, girl. You get up tomorrow. And you know what I said? I said, you get up, dress up, show up, and shut up. You shut up that crying. You shut up that feeling sorry for yourself. You show up and God's going to show up. I said, I know they've kicked you out of school.
Amen.
And it was the first day of the semester after Christmas. And this was just this past year. And I want you to know, I was just about half sick because I didn't know how God was going to work this out. And so the next day I get up and I go to my trainer and I work out and I go to work, and I was just trudging around and the stress was just on me. how are we going to fix this today? How are we going to fix this today? So I sent out a few emails. I sent had my media girls send out a few requests. Anyone in the area that can help this girl. We're trying to get her back into school. She's in the home stretch. We had made it all the way to senior year, and here it was the last semester. And boy, I just kept speaking it to her by faith. I just said, "You're going to graduate with my son in May. You're going to take your picture. I'm going to stand there. You're going to be there." And you see, I was so definite in my vision and in my request. I said, "You're going to be there. You're going to graduate in May." Because she thought about, you know, quitting and working. And I said, "You just hang in there. You just keep on keeping on. You're closer than you think. Never, never, never give up. You're closer than you think. You know, just beyond the point of defeat is the victory. Hang on, hang on, hang on, and then tie a knot in your rope and hang on some more." And so it's about 1 o'clock. So I'm just stressed and I'm sick and I'm about half mad because I just don't know how I'm going to work this out. And the key word that I'm misusing here is how I was going to work this out. But I knew,
yes, ma'am,
the key word was me saying how I'm going to work this out. And I get a phone call. And I miss it. And then it's her, the girl. So while I'm going to call her back, I get a text message. And she said, "You're never going to believe it. A man called into the cashier's office and paid my bill in full." And Kim, it was about $9,000. And I nearly fell out of my office desk chair. I broke out in a sweat. I about began to bawl. I had to go outside. I had to take a few breaths. I had to walk around. I had to gather my bearings. And, you know, I've seen a lot of
glory to God.
I'm telling you, glory to God on high, high. Hallelujah. I mean, I walked outside and I just was so ashamed of myself for a couple of reasons. A, I was stressed out on how I was going to work this situation out. And B, I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be embarrassing if this doesn't work out. And so I was ashamed of my doubt, that I doubted God. I doubted the word of God. And I was ashamed of myself for thinking I had to put my hands on it and I had to be the one to work it out. And you know, it simply says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still." And I know how to get to the other side, into the promised land, into the provision. And the way you do so is by praising it forth. Act as though you have arrived, you're on the podium, you have the medal hanging around your neck, you've got your trophy in your hand, and just sing and praise God pre-victory. Praise it forth. Thank God in advance that he's going to do what the word of God says he's going to do. And simple, ask anything in my name and it shall be done where two or more are gathered. And so here we were. So then I have some of my office girls help me write this fabulous thank you letter that was heartfelt, but I'm more creative than I am grammatically correct. And I walk into the cashier's office a couple of weeks later, and I just walk up to one of the tellers, and I say, "Tell them who I am, tell them who my son is." And I said, "I'm looking for the lady who took the call for this particular girl. Here's her name. Who's her student ID number? And this is a letter that I wrote to the man, the anonymous man, who paid her bill. And this was a life-changing experience for her, but it was 10 times more life-exchanging for me because I just felt like I was, you know, in the vice. I had really let her out there in faith that God was going to show up and deliver. And then I was scared to death in just human nature, just doubt and fear that it might not happen. And it did. And the lady at the cashier's office began to weep. And she said, "I took the phone call."
Oh,
now,
wow.
Now there's eight cashiers. Now there's like eight cashiers at the counter. And I walk up to the one that took the phone. She said, I took the phone call for the young girl. And I handed her the letter. I went straight to her. God led me straight to her. And I handed her the envelope and I said, feel free to open the envelope and scan it and email it to him. But please, please just make sure that it gets to him. And I put double, triple stamps on it so you could just fill in his name. I said, but I explained in the letter, not only was this life changing for this girl who was doing everything she could, she was already on financial aid, she was already working three jobs, and the little girl would always have dark circles under her eyes because she would just work and then study. And long story short, she showed up, dressed up, shut up, and God was there. And she sent me a text message. She sent me a text message at graduation this past May that would just break a man in two. Just get down on your knee. I mean, this was life changing. And so this is just one of the many, 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 many miracles that occurred to me recently in this year. And the restoration, you know, she was apart from her family. They were on the outs, and she graduated with my son, and restoration has been brought to her family. And I guess the moral of this story is not only is the miracle in the timing. I mean, when it was time, and she had to walk past the defeat in faith to receive the answer, she did it. And she graduated in May, and it was just life-changing for her, but it was life-changing for me as well. And so I just am never, ever, ever amazed by the promise of God, by the provision of God, and the power of the Word of God, and the power in the agreement. And so it's very, very important that we all are like-minded, and when you're wishing and hoping for something, and when you're praying for something, that you're in agreement, and that you keep your mindset in abundance, knowing that God's going to provide. God's going to provide in every way. So I was wondering if you had time to think of any miracles that had occurred to you recently that you'd like to share.
Miracles every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come into my life.
I love that. I love that you said
miracles
that.
Every day.
I love it.
Come
yes.
into my life.
Yes.
But it's one thing to have miracles in your life, but it's also another to receive those miracles, acknowledge those miracles, and acknowledge God
yes.
in your life. And so many people think, oh, well, it's because I did this. It's because I did that.
No.
No. You got to give glory where it goes.
Yep.
And that's to God. And I live a very blessed life.
Yes, you do. So
and
do I.
And I know it.
Yes.
And I know it. And I acknowledge that. And I am thankful every day.
Yes.
And it's down to the simple things.
Yes.
I am thankful for my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I have in my life.
Yes.
That I am, I have a girlfriend right now going through a tough time. And she's got a young son that she has a lot of work with.
Yes.
And
God's going to put
requires
you. God's going to put us in
you,
a. Position.
God puts them in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. God's going to put us in a position to promote us and restore us and provide for us, so
absolutely.
We just have to keep that in front of us.
So I have a friend that she has a hard time with her son, and I won't lie, raising my son was tough. He's had some issues that we've had to deal with his ADHD, and he was not an easy child to raise. So she calls a lot, how'd you do this, how'd you do that? And they spend a lot of their money on therapies and things for her son. And we just went to Hobby Lobby the other day. And she really wanted this picture for her new, she's redoing her house, doing some work in her house. And she really wanted this picture. And she's like, nah, I better not get it. And so I got her that picture because I knew it meant something to her.
Blessed her, yes.
It was something she really wanted.
Yeah, and it blessed her,
yes. She really wanted. And just wrote her a little card and said, you know, I hope you have a great day. It was something very, very, very small.
Yes.
But it meant the world to her.
Absolutely.
And that's where you got to go, God, thank you for bringing these people into my life, letting them minister to me.
Yes.
And me to be able to minister to them.
Yes.
Those are my miracles.
Absolutely. Every day.
Receive those.
Yeah, every day all around us. And, you know, this is maybe where I'm at, but this is not where I'm going to stop because, you know, God is going to bless us in such a tremendous way. He's going to bless our health, our homes, our families. We're going to walk by faith. He's going to bless our finances in such a miracle way. And, you know, we reap what we sow. Life and death lie in the tongue. So it's very, very important that regardless of what we're going through, and I saw this the other day, and it says, I became peaceful and successful when I began to no longer fight the small fighters, the small battles. And I just love that. I became peaceful and successful when I began to no longer fight the small battles and the small fighters. And what that means to me is the petty little things and petty people or petty things. And, you know, God love people. We all need grace. And we all need cleaned up and polished up and refined and, you know, and brought into alignment. But I love that. I became successful when I began to no long and peaceful when I no longer began to basically be hindered by the petty things and just, you know, keeping my words positive and just, I like to say, get back up and get back on your horse and keep riding, keep moving forward, keep moving upward, keep moving onward. And, you know, when it's God's time to promote you, nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop. And you've just got to get your due diligence. And I know that God is about to bless his people in such a way that you're not going to have to say it. You're not going to have to talk it. You're just going to walk by and people are going to look at you and they're going to know that light, that miracle, that victory that's in you and on you, that's shining out, that you're a child of the Most High God. And I know, and I'm going to speak this forth to me and you and everyone within the sound of my voice, your best days are in front of you. This may be where I'm at today. Ho, sister, this ain't no place that I'm going to be stopping. And I read the books of successful people all the time. And every one of them, from J.D. Rockefeller to Henry Ford and on, they say the success was beyond the defeat. They experienced defeat multiple times, but it's when they kept getting up and getting back at it and keep pressing forward and squaring their shoulders. And, you know, and I say, whip and spur, grind it out before the Lord. The success lies beyond that emotion and that feeling and that mindset of defeat. And, you know, are you willing to do what it takes to arrive at the fullness of your divine destiny? You know, my kids, they get so tired of me because I've got a million of these. I'm like, I am willing to do today what others are not, so tomorrow I can do what others cannot. And that's not in an arrogant, competitive way. It's just that, see, to whom much is given, much is required. And when you have an anointing and an appointing, and God says, I see you, and when you are faithful in little, I trust that you will be faithful in much. And I always say this, God's gift to me is me. He gave me another day at life. I got one more day. My gift to God is what I'm going to make of it. And I want to make the most today. And so I want to speak the blessing, that commanded blessing from the north to the south, to the east to the west, over anyone that is in need of healing, that is in a place of lack, that is in a place of brokenness. You serve the Most High God. You are created by the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God. You are the apple of His eye. He knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And just because you're born of the Most High God, you're blessed. His blessings, they chase after you and they cling to you. And He separates us and we are sanctified just by the blood and the protection and the healing and the restoration of Christ. You have a ring on your finger and a robe on your back. You are regal and sanctified just because you are a child of the Most High God. And, you know, so you have to, as you go through this world, when something isn't serving you well, detach from it, walk away from it, and get in that position and proper stance to where God can reach you, He can touch you, He can promote you and restore you. And, you know, the most fulfilling things that you will ever have in life are those scary things, proving to yourself how strong you are and how strong your faith is, and giving God a chance to fight your battles for you, resting in the Lord, just being still and letting God go before you and behind you, making the crooked path straight, always causing you to triumph. And, I go all over the Word of God. I'm just like, these are things that I recall by memory, but I'm so much about, you know, the miracles and the timing, and the time is now. And when it's God's time for you to have that big breakthrough, I call it the suddenly, and then suddenly. And, you know, regardless of how terrible a day I have, or how broken I feel, or how defeated and knocked down and trampled I feel by life, I know to just pull myself up by my bootstraps, get back on my horse, so to say, and whip and spur. Because when it's God's time, nothing will stop it. And the miracles in the timing, and life and death lie in the tongue, and what you reap you shall sow. And so I'm going to sow the positive promises of God so that I can reap that. And you have to practice your joy. You have to choose your joy, and you have to remember, you know, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And as you were saying, it's those everyday miracles. And I like to, my kids, they get so tired of me, but I'll say, when they're being, you know, griping and such, I'll say, I want you to stop, and I want you to say five things that you are thankful for, and it can't be material things. It can't be like, oh, I love my iPhone, and I love my pickup truck, and I love my alligator boots. Nope. It's got to be like five things that you're thankful for. And, you know, me overcoming death and walking daily in a miracle of the gift of life, it'll keep you humble. And what's so funny is that, you know, people, they think I'm pretty big for my britches, and maybe I am. But if I am, it's just lightning in a bottle. It's tequila in a teacup. It's strong, and I want to pour it out, because what God has done for me in my life is astonishing. And you know that, Kim, and you know what God has done in your family and in your life. I mean, it's like, how did we ever get this blessed? How did we ever get to this place of such blessing and such fruitfulness and such joy? And I always say the miracle in having it all is believing that you already do. And I believe that I do today. I believe that I'm so blessed. And the blessing is pressed down, shaken up, and running over. And I'm just so thankful that God helps me when I'm in a terrible, bitter, negative mindset, and I do get there, and I get there more frequently than I'd like to admit, that I'm able to just realign myself, try to get humble before God. But what's funny is that when you come across me, I probably don't seem very humble, but honestly, in my spirit, I'm all about the humble hustle. But I do tell a victory story, and I do square my shoulders and walk in the victory, and I do hold my head up high, and I do, you know, just thank God that I am separated and sanctified as a child of the Most High God. And I believe that we deserve the prosperity and the health and the commanded blessing. And what I love about the people that go before us is the prayer equity and the work equity and the equity in faith. And, you know, I have a friend and her mother, she's in her mother and daddy, they're so precious, and they're both in their 80s, and they've just had the most beautiful love story. You know, they've just been, you know, in love with one another for decades and decades, and they're both approaching 90-ish, and they're both healthy, and I just think about all the lessons that, you know, Miss Judy has taught me and taught her children along the way, and just it's just to be thankful. It's just to be thankful in little until you're thankful in much. And so I had another miracle that, you know, I was not looking for, that just came and found me. And I was at a high school rodeo finals, and I had a lady walk up to me, and she, you know, and I talked about this last week. It's like I kind of just, you know, yes, I received a miracle, and God restored my life. And, I mean, he literally brought me back from the grave with 0 to 4% chance to live. And miraculously, I rose up and I walked out of there. And I thank God every day for another opportunity at life. Her name was Carrie, and she had been diagnosed with a very, very rare type of aggressive cancer. And she was a flight attendant, and she loved to fly internationally. And so not only did she get this diagnosis of aggressive cancer, rare aggressive cancer, but she was not able to fly due to the pressurization of, you know, the aircraft and everything. And so she really felt like she had been robbed. And, you know, there's the other side of the pendulum. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, the enemy's a liar. He lies, and he's full of manipulation and fear. He likes to inject fear into us. He likes to try to attempt to circle around us, and he likes to use comparison. He likes to use doubt. He likes to use mindset of lack, that we feel like we've always got to make it happen and make our next dollar, and we're not just coming from a place of abundance and knowing that God's going to provide and God's going to promote. But Carrie, she approached me and she said, I want to talk to you about the miracle that you received and how you received it and the miracle you're walking in. And I was really busy. I really had somewhere to go. But she said, I need you to sit down and talk to me. And I said, okay. So I sat down, and so we visited for a minute, and she said, you know, I've got less than like a 30% chance to live. And I said, well, those are great odds. Those are fabulous odds, because I had 4% chance to live, and I'm pretty fiery. I'm doing okay, you know. So look at me. God's restored me, and he is the God that heals us. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that heals you. And I said, so he's not a respecter of person. The word of God says, I am not a respecter of persons. What I'm going to do for one, I'm going to do for another. I said, so God healed me, so God's going to heal you. And she said, this is how I needed you to talk to me. I needed somebody to inject some hope in me. I'm scared. My family's scared. My children are devastated. And I said, I understand. And I said, you got to walk through the fire and trust that you'll not so much as smell of smoke. And makes me think of 10 more miracles I've seen and witnessed. But anyway, so Carrie, she said, well, what should I do? And I said, start getting the word of God down in you. Start getting the promise of God down in you. And she did. And I said, I've got somebody that's anointed in healing, that's very appointed and anointed in healing. And I want you to go with me, and we will pray over you. And we did. And long story short, you know, we went to this pastor that's there in the Amarillo, Texas area, and we prayed over Carrie, and she just couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe that we would just pray and agree, and that she was going to be miraculously healed and miraculously overcome this rare cancer. And I believe it was like up in her arm, near her armpit, and she had to wear this compression garment, and she lost all of her hair, and we would just, we laid hands on her and we prayed for her and we agreed. And this is everyday occurrence around us. I mean, this is just an everyday, I cannot tell you the dozens and dozens and dozens of people that are healed just by power of prayer and agreement in the power of prayer and the made up mind that, their will to live and their will to keep on keeping on. And you know, when people are fighting for their life, it doesn't get much more important than that. It makes everything else kind of feel not such a big deal, you know, when you're fighting for your life. But at Carrie's 1 year celebration party, it was in, I'll never forget it, it was in Canyon, Texas. And we were in this most fabulous home in front of dozens and dozens and dozens of my peers. And you know me, I was trying to hide it under a bushel. Yeah, God had healed me and that was great. And now let's just go on. You know, like now let's go on. I don't really want to get out and be a Jesus freak and be a weirdo and, you know, shout it from the mountaintop. You know, I was lucky. No, I wasn't lucky at all. I was bought and paid for. I was bought and paid for. The blood of Christ paid my pardon, and in the power of the blood of Jesus was my healing, and I got a hold of it. And I mean, I was like a dog with a bone. Once I got a hold of that, I hung on to it, and I convinced this beautiful lady, Carrie, to get a hold of her healing and hang on to it. And she did. And not only was she healed of cancer, but she was restored to where she could go back and continue to fly internationally. But we were at this little tea party and we were having cake and tea and everything. And she just said, I want my friend Jenny to come forth and I want her to pray. And here again, I was like, I mean, I'm never prepared to do this. And so we're like in front of about nearly 100 people. There was like over 75 people there. And she was like, yeah, Jenny, we went to this healer and they anointed me with oil. And I was like, oh, my God. She did not just say that. You know, these people are going to think we're all freaky and everything. But she didn't know no better. And I said, well, we just did what the Word of God says. We went and we gathered together in the power of prayer and we joined hands and we laid hands on her. And we prayed for her, and we called her whole, and we called her healed. And, you know, it seems pretty simple, but that's probably been 10, 11 years ago, and she's still whole, she's still healed, she's cancer-free, she's still flying internationally, she's...
God is great.
God is great. And so I just...
Every day
God is good, and every day God is great, and all the time. And so I just am so, you know, amazed by the miracles, the everyday miracles that occur. It was just funny how it was catching, and it had a rippling effect that, you know, me just walking and people are like, well, there's Jenny. She's out and about. I mean, she was in, you know, a coma, and she was, you know, it had one foot in the grave. And then they want to approach me and they want to know the secret. They want to know the secret in the sauce. And I always say, I won't weaken my sauce. I mean, if you don't like me, then, you know, I'll go my way and you go your way. But I'm not going to weaken down my sauce, because the secret is in the sauce. And the secret is the power in the blood of Christ. The power in the promise of the Word of God. The Word of God is our sword. And you've got to armor up in that protection of the Word of God, and you've got to go forth in this world and walk it out and march it out, and you've got to use the Word of God as your sword to overcome and to just blaze a trail for those that come beside you and behind you. And mainly, I always think about my children, and we go back to those people that went before us and the prayer equity and the work equity and just their time spent before God. And they got their due diligence. And then that creates a trail and a rippling effect of those that become behind you, and they get the blessing, the pouring down of the blessing. And I just, thank God for, the people that went before me. And it's so important to never, ever, ever, ever forget where you came from. And, Kim, even though your granddad, Walter Merrick, and, he's a foundational Hall of Famer, it's like, and there was the ranches and the jets and, thank God for all that. But there was hard times too. There was ups and there was downs, and I kind of love the downs. I kind of love the downhill spirals. And I'm going to tell you why, because in the valley, he restoreth my soul. I mean, everyone wants to be on top. Everyone wants to be on top of the mountain. But I'll tell you, it gets real, real in the valley. And in the valley, he restoreth my soul. And, I always say to my children, I pray to God that your talent and your gifting never take you where your integrity cannot keep you. And it's hard when you're winning, 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 and blessed, 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 and on top and on top and out front, to be humble before the Lord and to be thankful before the Lord. And so I always try to hold on to that. And again, it's funny. If you were to say my name, people would probably not say, oh, she's the most humble person I know. But honestly, in my spirit before God, I'm just about the humble hustle. I'm always about the humble hustle, and I'm always about the power in your tongue and telling your story. And the only way that I feel like I have been victorious many, many, many times and overcome many, many things, and most people don't know about that, but most people don't know about the hard times. And I have a lot of people around me that say, don't show emotion. It's unprofessional to show emotion. You should just be composed and be in fighter pilot mode. And don't talk about the hard times. Don't talk about the bad stuff. That's not the kind of thing you talk about at parties. But I think it's important to have a balance that people know, it ain't all coming up like roses. There's been lots and lots and lots of challenging days. There's been lots of traumatic days. There's been brokenness. There's been trauma. There's been defeat. But it's that knowing the truth and the promise of the Word of God, knowing the validation and the victory in the Word of God, in the promises of the Word of God, that got me through. And just knowing the simple things that, if anyone says you're not worthy, or if anyone says you're not able, or if anyone else says, it's not your destiny, that's simply not true, because, God loves us and he protects us and he provides for us. And we just thank God for all the miracles that we see. Kim, thank you for being with me. We're out of time, and hopefully you can join me next week. But we appreciate you sharing your miracles, and here, catch a wave, because the miracle's in the timing. Thank you, Kim.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfin' Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.